Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy.
Sean, it's great to be back at the kitchen table, and we are going to be doing a topic that you know I am obsessed with. I'm fascinated with the rise of OnlyFans. I think it's a negative force in our culture. I think it's having an impact that we're not even registering quite. And we've talked about the rise of OnlyFans moms and the impact that has on kids and families. And I have been bugging our producers. I'm like, I want a reformed OnlyFans guest on our show. And we found an amazing woman who was on OnlyFans. She's going to break down how she got into it, what happened when she was in it, and how she got out of it, and how life is going for her after. And we're going to bring in also her husband, who was a big part of her transition out of that line of work. So with no further ado, I want to welcome Nala Ray and Jordan Giordano. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We're super honored to have you at the kitchen table, because often we don't get to see behind the scenes on these on a topic like this. So, you know, we only see the Daily Mail stories. We see, and we're going to play it for you later, an ad that OnlyFans does that really presents the work as really uplifting and empowering. And you're a really brave woman, because you're sort of shining the light, taking us behind the curtain, and I'm really grateful for that, Nala. So why don't we just start with, because you're a pastor's daughter. I want to mention that as well. So that's a really, you know, huge transition that you made. How did you go from pastor's daughter to OnlyFans creator? And maybe we should break down what OnlyFans, maybe you could break down exactly what OnlyFans is for those of our viewers who maybe aren't as familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So really quick, I'm not actually a current pastor's daughter. My dad is no longer a pastor, but he was for like 7 to 10 years. So he's been like in the mission field, an evangelist, but he's no longer a pastor. But yeah, absolutely. So OnlyFans is basically a subscription site. That's all it was created to be, was just a subscription site for anyone who wanted to share their talents or skills and make some money off of it by putting it behind a paywall. So you can be like a cook, you could be sharing your martial arts skills. Unfortunately, though, OnlyFans has become very much so sexualized in this world, and it just blew up being like almost like the number one porn site. So like that's very unfortunate, because that's, I definitely know that OnlyFans wasn't like, I know they were pretty upset about that, it turning into that, although it made them so much money. So originally, it started off kind of innocent, and I know there are people on there that even do like therapy sessions or like, again, cooking lessons or yoga or other things like that. But the primary use of it is very much so porn now. And it really, yeah, it's like, it's disheartening for sure. But I started this journey about 5 years ago on OnlyFans. I was pretty much a nobody on the internet already. Like, I didn't have a big following at all. I wasn't even on platforms like Twitter or X now, Snapchat, anything like that, even Facebook. So I was a very, very small creator and just creating like fitness content. That's my my name on Instagram is Fitness Nala. You know, it just started off as like fitness content, me in the gym, because I've been doing that since I was like 18. So, it then like slowly but surely I got introduced to it by this man who was like promoting OnlyFans to women and having them like sign up under him. And I didn't know this person. He had just reached out to me, and that was the start of like 2019. So like we all went through.
Can you pause for 1 second?
Yeah.
So this person reaches out to you through the internet. So he may be scouring different accounts, trying to find interesting women who he can then coerced to take the next step from, you know, fitness to pornography.
But also, he doesn't want you to start your own account on OnlyFans. He wants you to be under his account, so he's making money.
Yes,
it's called a
referral. A program. So like OnlyFans used to have this referral program to where if you referred people, you would get 5% of what that creator made. They stopped that a couple years back because people were making so much money off of other creators. So I believe they don't do that anymore. But that's what his like primary job was. He was also on OnlyFans. But as a man, you don't make that much money on OnlyFans unless you're going, if you're really crossing like lines there. And what I mean by that is like doing more like gay stuff as a male, like you're crossing that line. That's like pretty much the only way you can make more money.
But what you're saying is that the main customers are men, whether they're gay or straight.
Because like men buy porn. Women don't really buy porn. The percentage of men versus women buying and purchasing stuff like that on the internet is very slim to none. So men are the ones who definitely purchase that and like have that craving for that more than women, I'd say. But yeah, that was kind of his job, I guess, was to recruit women like me who might not be that big on the internet to help blow them up. And he specifically couldn't blow me up, but me getting signed under him could make him money if I made money. However, I didn't know anything about that referral program at the time, and I thought it was sketchy, so I never ended up signing up under him. I just started my own account and didn't use his referral code or anything. He did get pretty mad at me at that, but I didn't care because, again, I don't know this person personally. So I was like, okay. But it's crazy that it goes back that far and like seeing that there were recruiters back in 2019 and probably before that trying to sign women up. And he specifically mentioned like selling nudes and doing that stuff. It was never doing cooking or classes. It was literally to sell nudes and stuff and speak sexually to your audience. So it's crazy that it goes back that far. But yeah, that was back in 2019. And I joined, and my first month I made a gross of $85,000, and that was just me working every single day and only showing like lewd pictures and sexualizing my messaging with the men. And I was just like,
so did you say that you were nude?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I hadn't produced any porn or anything. It was just lewd content.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of money, $85,000 for the first month. Can I ask you one last quick question, Sean?
If it breaks out to $1 million a year, right? $85,000 a month is $1 million a year. Yeah. So it's real money.
What do you think it was about you in, like, you just started, like, that's an enormous amount of money. What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of other girls doing this kind of stuff. So what do you think? Is it that you had a following before because of fitness and that brought some interest? Because I am hearing that people who were saying, you know, a reality TV show before, or were a Disney actor, or had some even CD actor kind of, you know, persona, are having more success. What was your success?
You know, for me, it was really, that's a really good question. But for me, I believe that it was like, I kind of had a different niche in the system. There were other girls doing like just the most basic kinds of things and content, but I took it multiple steps further because I'm like really big into anime and the gaming community. And that's who my crowd really reached out to because of me being a cosplayer. And I also had red hair. I was like one of like the only red-headed women on the platform at the time. And I guess I just had a different look, but my niche was like cosplaying. So I dress up as a different person and play a character. And so instead of just getting one woman, you get like multiple women, kind of, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like
on multiple faces. You kind of have an anime look. I mean, you're a beautiful girl,
but you
do have that. I can totally see the game world stuff going on there.
So now, and Jordan, we're going to come to you in a second because as the story progresses, you're a big part of this story, but we got to get the building blocks of how Nala gets in, what happens while she's in, and how she gets out, which I know you're a big part of, Jordan. But so Nala, you must understand that this is a website that has nudity. You have to mm-hmm. do sexual. You have to engage in sexual content
if you want to make more money. Yes, I did not have to take that route, but I chose that. Unfortunately.
So was it money? Was it fame? Was it the I know we're going to talk about the in air quotes, the freedom of what the platform offers you. What brought you in to go, you know what, that's something that I actually want to do. What drove you?
It was quite a few things, and a lot of it had to do with certain life events that had happened in my life at that time or previous to that, that drove me to a place where I was like, well, I have nothing left to lose. Like losing my family, they're not dead or anything, but they had kind of disowned me after they had figured out what I was doing. And at that point in my life, I was like, oh, like I really don't have much to lose. It's just me and my dog. I didn't have any good relationships or good people around me. I couldn't hold on to a friendship. So I was willing to pour my life into just working at it and getting better and better. And the biggest thing about being on OnlyFans is that you have to market yourself on every single platform so that like funnels into OnlyFans. And I was creating like viral content on TikTok and Instagram that had just led people to OnlyFans and like got this curiosity for people me in that way because I was like being very promiscuous online without being like crossing that line what I was doing on my OnlyFans. So I think that really was it pretty much was that I was like a gamer. I was streaming on Twitch and I would just sexualize pretty much everything that I was doing so that people knew that I had an OnlyFans. So
yeah
unfortunately.
It sounds like you were a really good marketer of yourself.
I love business and it was like my business baby. Like I just took care of it and nurtured it every single day. I worked 7 days a week, every single day for months and months and months because it was like the only thing I felt like I had control over in my life and that was working. So that's like the funny thing when you talk about freedom, that was like the only freedom that I thought I had because it was working, you know, and I was good at it. And I was like, oh, this must be my calling because I'm good at something and I'm making money towards it. But you know, it's funny. God gives us so many gifts and talents and we don't always use them in the right way. And mm-hmm. especially not using your body online. Because God never called us to do that. You know, he literally says that we're beautifully and wonderfully made. And this is not our purpose in life at all. Right. But I just so happened to be good at something, you know, and it felt good to be good at something and not be disowned by it. Instead, I was excelling at it like crazy. So,
yeah, I could totally. It makes so much sense, given your background, given your estrangement from your family, given the fact that you were doing something sexual, but in a way it was the business side of it that was really motivating you and the success was driving you. I want to play for you, Nala, a video that OnlyFans puts out to entice other women to join this kind of, you know, become a creator, as they call it, to really mm-hmm. sell their bodies in this way. But I found it so, well, why don't you listen to it and you tell me what you think of it. And then I'll tell you what I thought too.
This has given me so much freedom. One of the main things I love about it is it has allowed me to live such an authentic life. Freedom from my time. It's so important. And I feel like so many people don't have enough of it. And OnlyFans has given me time.
Puppy break. I cannot express again how much I love working from home.
I can create what I want, when I want, how much of it, and content that's for me and my own boundaries. I don't have anyone telling me what to do. I don't have anyone telling me what to create. So it's a safe space for me to create very authentic content. Trust me.
Okay, so for those who are not watching, because this will play on Fox Nation and people can visually see this, but those who are just listening through audio, this is a very, you know, she looks like the girl next door, a really pretty blonde woman. And you never see any of the stuff that she does for OnlyFans. What you see her is just going for a walk with her dog, making brownies, you know, hanging out on her bed, laughing like she's a co-ed at a sorority. But we never see the other side of it. She talks about freedom. She says no one tells her what to do. She says this is a safe space, and she uses the word authentic.
She gets to work from home.
And she gets to work from home. This is the work from home post-COVID, you know, generation. Mm-hmm. So tell me how accurate that ad is, and sort of break it down for me in terms of how it really works for you.
So I actually know that creator personally, and she's such a sweet person. Her name is Jenna.
She looks like it.
I've met her in person multiple times. We've been out to dinner together. We both lived in California. She and her husband are a really great couple. But, you know, it's funny because you mentioned the word freedom, or she did, you know, freedom in the cage you're in. You know, that's like all I think about is like, yes, you have room to run around in the cage that you're in. That's your freedom. So because we're what, showing our bodies and we're nude and we're, this is freeing. And you know what I'm saying? So that can be very much like misconstrued as freedom. And yes, you get time at home, but there are so many other jobs, like going TikTok live, having a clothing brand. There are so many other things you can do from home, not including showing your body or doing anything like that online. So yes, that's a really clear picture of what OnlyFans wants you to think it is. However, the consequences to your actions are so heavy that you don't even realize it while you're in there. Because one, you're making money and you're independently free because you're financially stable. And I think that's a lot of things that people worry about is financial freedom. Clearly, like we, you know, it's a really hard time right now in the US, especially for young people. Like my parents would say like, stuff like, you know, housing is just so different. We bought a house for this much back then, and now our houses here now are so expensive that it's so hard for like even two people to just buy a home. Yeah, it's almost, it's just, you're taking out loans after loans and trying to refinance. It is, it's a mess. And a lot of it has to do with our economy right now. But that picture is very clear as to like, it's a great motivator for someone to get in, but you don't realize what you have to do to have that financial freedom. Because for me, I was being offered more and more money to show more and more and more. And so I compromised heavily to make more money, and I did, but at what price? The price was fatal, absolutely fatal. The things that I saw and did and heard and experienced in that OnlyFans world were nothing like freedom. It was a cage. It put me in a mental cage because I was dealing with like, I couldn't even like feel emotion at some point in this journey on OnlyFans. Like I was so numb because it just, everything was like, oh, I just have to accept it because this is how it is. You can't have normal friends because the people outside of OnlyFans don't understand what you're doing. And they're so enthralled by it that like, they're not your friend. They're just asking you a bunch of questions about it. Or you're kind of disowned. That's kind of the other option there, is that people just like, don't know how to see you as a person anymore, because you're showing your body everywhere. And maybe their friends have seen you naked, or their husbands have seen you naked, or, and it's like uncomfortable for them. And then obviously like the other side of that is having friends in the industry, which justifies you doing it because they're doing something wrong and you're doing something wrong. And you get together and you're like, oh, cool, we're both doing this. Like, yes, it feels great. And I had so many people that I knew in the industry that I was just like, we're all doing it. This is great, you know? But it's like, you're just trying to justify your actions with someone else that's doing it. But it's not like a friendship. You're both very like hurt and mentally unstable. And I say that because I was personally there. Like, I wasn't suicidal by any means, but I was just in such a dark place that I couldn't hold on to anything. Friends, family, like the only things that I could have were materialistic, like bags and cars and houses, like materialistic items that I was like, oh, I could purchase anything, but I can't purchase a relationship that like cares about me or loves me or is there for me. Because again, there's only two sides of that, like kind of friendship or personal relationship you can have with someone when you're in the industry. They don't understand you like on the outside, and people are either judging you for it or don't understand it. And you're not blaming them for not understanding you, but it's just, it's so hard when you're in the industry.
Yeah.
It is. The loneliness is probably the bare minimum word there, because it is, it doesn't even scratch the surface to how dark you feel inside. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like I've experienced some people I know in the industry committing suicide, and it's so hard because you thought they like were okay and they were happy about what they were doing, and then they commit suicide and you're like, oh my gosh, like this goes so much deeper. Like, again, it goes back to God never called us to reveal ourselves like this. Like when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were so aware that they were naked and they were ashamed of it. Like, this is truly how I ended up feeling, was just so ashamed of showing myself, and not only showing myself, but having men purchase and lust and commit adultery against, you know what I'm saying? Like men who were married and bought my stuff, and maybe not men who were married, but were watching porn, and how desensitized they might be now because of something that I sold them and they purchased. Like, when you, I was never even thinking about that, but now that I'm like a new creation in Christ, like it weighs so heavy on my heart that the darkness that I just came out of was so prevalent. And so like my fate was sealed. It was so horrifying that like this great upward hill that I was going up, the money, the cars, the trips, was a cliff at the end. It was just a cliff that I couldn't see. And it led me to such a, like a depressive state of like numbness and not being able to hold anything in my hands, like truly. So
we're going to continue the conversation with Nala on her journey in OnlyFans. She's mentioned Adam and Eve in the garden. She's mentioned her faith. We're going to talk about how she also got out of OnlyFans and refound her faith with her husband, Jordan, right after this break.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Welcome back to the kitchen table. We're with Nala and Jordan. Nala, if you wouldn't mind, I guess I don't understand how OnlyFans works. I haven't been on the site. I was going to do
Thank
some exploratory research, and Rachel said I shouldn't. So just so we understand, Do people subscribe by the month? Do they subscribe by the day? Do they subscribe for a certain picture or a certain video? How does the business side of it work? How do people engage with you? Money, do you give them some free content and then later it goes behind a paywall? So if you could talk to me about that and then the progression, right? Maybe I just think about it as drugs. Someone might start with alcohol or cigarettes and then to marijuana and then to cocaine. And then there's a progression of drugs. Is there a progression too? You mentioned this of people wanting you to do more, show more, and then they'll continue to subscribe and you'll make more money. How does that progression work also with the business side of OnlyFans?
Okay, so the subscription works like this. You can subscribe for a month. You can't subscribe for anything less than a month, but you can subscribe for 2 months or 3 months at a time. And sometimes you could even do a year subscription.
What is the subscription cost? Is it $1,
$5? It depends on what the model is putting up as their subscription price. Mine was $8.99 a month. You can do as low as $4.99 a month and as high as $50. So you set a subscription base. When they subscribe, you have what's called like a wall, and the wall is free. Anything you put on the wall is free. And then but it's like teaser content to get you to go into the messages. Mm-hmm. You have free will to, like, it's free to message the person. But whatever they send you, like, you can message them and it's free, but they send the paywalled stuff in the messages, and that's how you purchase things. Mm-hmm. So like a video or a picture set, it's like behind a paywall and you can't see it unless you pay for it. So that's how that works. But as far as like the progression of going there was, I started off with lewd content. Just honestly, it was more teaser content than anything. And then
can I ask you, is this underwear, lingerie, or was
just lingerie, fully underwear stuff? That's pretty much it at first. And then I got asked, there was a couple of life events that had happened in my personal life that really pushed me over the edge. And I'm not blaming that for them. Like, I'm not blaming that scenario on why I really got into like porn and stuff, but it really had a mental effect on me to just feel like I had nothing left to lose. And at this point, why not? Because I'm being offered so much more money to make porn. And I was with my ex-boyfriend at the time, who was also on OnlyFans. And we just decided like, hey, like, we're just going to create porn together. And so that was just a big part of our relationship, was just creating porn together. And I was getting offered so much more to do it. So I was like, honestly, my boyfriend at the time accepts me. That's all I need, you know? And so we created porn together, and I was the main seller of it because I had such a big platform. So that was what happened. And I just continued on. And so,
Nala, what's interesting is, and we want to bring in Jordan here in a second, but I'm just so struck listening to you. Sean and I are in the communication field. You are an extraordinary communicator. The way you have been able to communicate your feelings, the way you paint with words, you are clearly a highly intelligent human being, and also somebody who has a really high social intelligence as well. I'm really struck by that. And it doesn't surprise me. It's, as you said, you've been given a lot of gifts. You used it for the wrong purposes there. Mm-hmm. But I just want to acknowledge that, you know, I had no idea before, you know, we had you on. I've never met you before. I didn't know how this conversation was going to go. And I am really amazed and struck by how intelligent you are and how well you express yourself.
And what a great businesswoman you probably are.
If I had a business, I'd hire you. I just think you're really smart. So I think that's part of the story. I think a lot of people would assume that people who do this are losers who have nothing else but their body to offer. This is a business. And not everyone makes money doing this business. You were one of the top performers. I think one of the top 1% performers. And I think that's the other flip side of it. The dark side of it is there's a lot of people doing really bad things, and they're making $100 a month. And they're losing their dignity in the process. And so I want to note that. And again, I want to thank you for your honesty, because I think this is such a cautionary tale. I think a lot of, because of the culture we live in, because of the ubiquity of porn, the ubiquity of social media platforms, I think there is a, there are a lot of opportunities for, you know, very normal, smart girls like you to fall into this, or people who are struggling with a traumatic event to fall into this. And I think this cautionary tale is very important. Jordan, maybe you could start it. What is your intersection with Nala in this journey? And how did you guys find each other? And how did this lead to Nala coming out of this line of work?
Yeah, so I actually am a live streamer on TikTok. And with that, like, I was doing a live battle. And I, when I do a live battle, like, I get like music going, the lights are crazy. And I'm prior military, and I have like a military like outfit type of thing. So like, I'll put like my bulletproof vest on, my bulletproof helmet, and like, I'll just, you know, go crazy. And when someone sends like a big gift, I'll pick up my chair and throw it across the room.
So wait, explain this. What is a live battle?
On TikTok, like, what I do for a living is like a TikTok streamer, and you can make money off of TikTok from gifts, and that gifts, like, they translate to actual income. So when a gift comes across the screen, it's like, you got to be hype about it, because you should be hype about it. You know, this is your family, this is your team. So like, when she came in, she sent like a super big gift. I was like, what the heck? And I just threw my chair.
Nala came in watching your live battle and you're in your combat gear, and she sent you a big, is it a gift or a gif?
Gift.
Yeah.
With a T.
Gift.
Yes.
Okay. And so she sends you a big gift.
What's the big gift?
Was it money?
I think it was like a lion.
So that's like equivalent of like $300 something. It translates to like $300.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And I threw my chair, and then she just like kept staying and throwing and throwing. I was like, what the heck, you know?
Who is this woman?
Right? Exactly. And I had no idea who she was. And like, there were some people that came in there and they're like, oh, she likes you. I was like, I have no idea who this is. And a couple days went by, and I ended up like just shooting her a message, and I ended up like FaceTiming her. And then like, what was your reaction to that? Like,
So I was outside like bow staffing, doing like some martial arts. I was freaking out. I was like, why is he FaceTiming me right now? Like, I just want to be friends. Like, I was just throwing to get his reaction, because every time I threw something, he went crazy. And I was like, who is this guy? You know? And he spoke so, like, he was speaking about the Lord on his live streams, like just openly talking about God. And I was like, who is this guy? But yeah, go ahead.
So from there, yeah, she was like, hello, like when she answered, and I was like, what's going on? And like, she was like busy. She's like, can I call you back? And I was like, oh yeah, that's completely fine. So she gave me a call back, and we just like kind of started talking, because I just wanted to know more about her and like who she like was, like what she did. I found out what she did later on, but I wasn't like distraught by it, because like, everyone has their thing. But like, that's so like that's the amazing part about God. It's like, if it's not right, God can always put you back on the track, but it's up to you in order to take that first step towards him. So we just kind of started talking, and we ended up like FaceTiming like a lot, and just like getting into like really deep convos. And I was like working on like this little card game, that I was like gonna do for like social media content, and it had to do with like deep questions, and she was just helping me like create them, and we started asking
Jordan, did you at this point know that she was on OnlyFans?
So at this point, no, I found out, I want to say like 2 weeks after that. But like, I didn't really like scroll through her content that much. Like, a lot of it was just like bow staffing stuff, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But we ended up planning a trip, and our first trip was to Nashville. So we actually met up in Nashville. We stayed in separate rooms, and we just like, we're just friends. And we just were hanging out. And like, we met up with one of my friends down there, and yeah, it was really, really cool. Cause it was just like, there was no like, oh, I like you, you like me type of thing. It was just like, what's up, bro? You know, it was just, it was super friendly, you know? And then from there,
okay, stop for a second. Nala, what was your thought on the Nashville trip about him?
I was crazy. No, hold on, because number one, I really haven't been treated at all by a man in this much respect. I was really always just seen for like my body and like, you know, I'm like just this like online kind of phenomenon, you know, and like that's how I feel like people saw me. And Jordan, again, he like didn't like look at my stuff or anything. Like he wasn't liking any of my posts or anything. So I really felt like, well, one, he was just always so respectful to me. There was no flirting there. Like even on FaceTime, we would talk like 24 hours a day on FaceTime. Like he'd go to the gym, I'd be on FaceTime. I'd be making my coffee, he's on FaceTime. Like we just really wanted to get to know each other, but there was absolutely no flirting going on. And we just became best friends. Like he even said one day, he's like, "You're my best friend, Nala." And I was just like, I have a best friend. Like, that's crazy. So really for me, it was a phenomenon because this man right here has treated me with so much dignity and respect that from day one, and I've gotten to see him in person, his character, how he dealt with different situations. We talked about business. We talked about business a lot because I have a lot of business knowledge. And then he was starting off in his business. So we really got to communicate about a lot of things that we were both dreaming about for business ideas. And like he said, the card game that he was creating at the time was a card game based on asking a person questions to better get to know them. And so we were able to get to know each other through asking super deep questions about family, relationships, dreams. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Like, what do you want out of life? Like, it was amazing. And like, he even like cried one of the first times we did it. And I was just like, my heart, like this guy is so open and available emotionally and like so not reserved in any way. So it was so special for me to get to experience that.
So obviously you mentioned all that your father was a pastor. He's not now, but obviously faith must have been part of your upbringing at some level.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, you as Jordan was out there throwing chairs in his, you know, his combat gear, he's talking about God as well. And this is a crazy story that he calls you on FaceTime and you guys start talking. Actually, that you call him back is pretty remarkable to start this journey. But at what point did the conversation of faith and God come into the relationship? And when did you start to think about that part of your soul and what you were actually doing as part of your business?
So he's been talking about God with me since day one. It was not like a couple months went by and then he felt comfortable. He has been able to share God's love with me since we started talking and was in so much boldness that he did it because he risked like losing me because he didn't know how I was going to respond to that. But he stepped out in boldness and continue to send me Bible verses through text. He sent me videos of like his camera propped up, him encouraging me in the Lord, just videos, and would send me like stuff on Instagram with Bible verses or motivating like videos. And again, I'm sitting here like, who is this guy?
But
like,
at the same
yes,
time,
he throws chairs and stuff, but.
Were you doing OnlyFans as well as you're getting the Bible verses? And was there some conflict going on in your mind as
oh, absolutely.
You're doing OnlyFans?
And that's what started it all. Like him being able to be that bold out of love, like Christ's love for me was what started this whole, like, I can't explain it, but turmoil within myself. Like I was feeling numb. And then all of a sudden I'm feeling convicted. And I'm just like, what am I feeling? Like I've never felt this way about my work. Like I was always proud of it. I'm like, I'm an independent woman. Like I'm doing what I need to do. You know, I didn't care what people thought about me, but instead of him judging me and being like, you don't need to do this with your life, he was just relying on God to speak that message to me. So there was turmoil.
So now at what point did you tell him that, I mean, so he's sending you Bible messages. He doesn't know your line of work at this point, but you're taking these messages and internalizing them and suddenly having to confront, you know, in your own soul, in your own head, what you're doing is in conflict with sort of the messages that he's sending. But does Jordan, do you know at this point, Jordan?
Yeah, so she ended up telling me in Nashville, and that's when I like found out. And I didn't take it like, oh, like this is terrible, like I'm gonna shun you, because that's like what the majority of like the religious Christians do nowadays, and that's why people are so far away from Christianity, is because they don't love. they judge. And it's like, those who judge shall be judged. So it's like, I'd rather be judged by any man than be judged by God. And that's where like people really have that issue. It's just like, people just want to like nitpick, but it's like, you're going to get nitpicked one day. So why are you coming at other people? You know,
it's so smart. And your tactic is the most Christian tactic. It's also probably the most effective. So she tells you this and you didn't judge her, but what was what's the first thing you said to her? I mean, I'm just so curious, like what this conversation looked like.
I was more just like, okay, like I didn't really like bring it up a lot. But like in my head, I was like, I'm going to get her off this. I'm going to get her off this because like in my head, I was like, what she can do for the kingdom of God with like what she has now is going to go way farther and change so many lives compared to what she's doing now, you know? And like at that moment she was more destroying lives, and it's like, she's going to be regaining those lives, you know? And that's all glory to God when it comes down to that. But it's like, in order to like really be that disciple, you have to plant the seed. It's up to her, you know, to like, really water it, but it's also up to God to grow it.
Where did your faith come from, Jordan?
I'd say my family, my mom, like especially, she absolutely loves the Lord, and she's been by my side since day one, encouraging me, sending me Bible verses as well, like every single day, praying for me. Yeah, like my mom.
That's great. Moms are powerful influences.
They are.
As Rachel can attest. So at one point you're telling us you reach out to her, Jordan. She actually FaceTimes you back. You guys start chatting, FaceTiming, sending Bible verses, and it appears like you're friends, right? And you go to Nashville together, and you at this point you're still friends. At what point for both of you did you go like, hey, this could be something more than a friendship? Jordan, you're like, I think Nala's attractive. I think she's a really wonderful person. Maybe I want to date her. And same thing for you, Nala, when you look at Jordan, like, when did that happen for you guys that you're going to start to date and eventually get married?
So I would say it didn't happen till like a month to like 2 months after that, because like for me, like being a man of God, like I cannot date someone who I'm unequally yoked with. And like, that was like my like bottom line. I was like,
what does that mean for people who don't understand what that means, that people are not.
So being unequally yoked. So imagine two oxen, and like you have a yoke which goes over their head, and you have one strong oxen and you have one oxen that's not as strong. That stronger oxen is going to pull it in one direction. But if you have two strong oxen and they're trying to go in a different direction, they can't. It's just like, you're not really going to move, and you're just going to go in a straight line. But you want to be able to go in the right direction. So when it comes down to that, it's like, you can't get pulled this way or that way. It's like, you need to make sure you're going in the right direction, and that right direction always starts with God. And like with her, she wasn't at that point yet. So like, I wasn't even gonna, you know, I would say pull the trigger on, you know, do you want to be my girlfriend? And it took a while to get to that point, but like, I didn't even like throw my feelings out there or anything. And like, I just still wanted to get to know her, from a friendship point of view. Cause like, I feel like a lot of people mess up in relationships and they just start dating right away. But it's like, you want to get to know that person as a friend first. You want to see how they are around their friends, vice versa. So it's like, you really just want to judge their character, and kind of like test the waters, see, and like, if they are Christian, like see the fruits of the Spirit before you actually just jump into something.
So that's why after Nashville, like once we met in person, I'm not saying there wasn't feelings, because once I saw him, I was like, oh dang, I kind of like this guy. But it was still like, it was so awesome to have a friend for me that I was like, you know what? I don't even care if this goes somewhere. I'm just thankful that I have a friend like that is not judging me whatsoever for what I'm doing. He's asking me some questions. Questions came up later on, but I was just like, if I want to keep this friendship, I have to be open and honest about it. And so that's like, honesty is just honestly the best policy. You have to remain honest and to be able to grow with somebody. So he continued being himself, loving me as Christ would love me, and sending me Bible verses. There was a turning point was when I was in Miami for my birthday. I had a fashion show to go to, and he had sent me a video of him just speaking to me, and he knew I was like going through some stuff. But like my soul was in turmoil. I was truly like, I can't explain it, but I was being convicted by the Holy Spirit. I couldn't explain it at the time, but now I know that it was the Holy Spirit like convicting me. So I popped off on him. I was like, man, like, why are you judging me? Because he was just, the video, I can't remember exactly what he said in it, but it was just like, you don't need to do this with your life. Like, you know, you're so much more worth it than this. But I felt offended by it because I was like, well, this is my line of work. Like, if you can't accept it, you can't accept me. But I was so wrong. I was so wrong because after that, like, we remained very good friends, but God was working, because after I got home from that Miami trip, I had this moment of breakdown, and I was in my living room. He was on FaceTime upstairs, but I needed a moment because I couldn't explain how I was feeling. I was crying like so heavily, couldn't stop crying. And I had felt so empty, even though like Jordan and I were friends, I still felt so empty. I'm like, why is there a puzzle piece missing still? I have a friend, I'm making good money. Like I'm financially set, right? I have a dog. Like what is going on? And I sat in my living room. It was like 1 a.m. and I had taken my Bible out of my shelving case to move something, and I'd left it on the tabletop, and I just grabbed my Bible, and I've had that Bible since like 2009, and I grabbed my Bible and I was just like opening it up and reading, and just like, I'm like, God, I need an answer right now, because I cannot do this. I don't know why I'm feeling like so alone and empty right now, but like, you need to show me something. And all God said to me was, all I ever needed was him. And it's so prevalent in my mind. It's not like I only just saw it in my brain, but like audibly heard it from God. Like, all I needed was him, and all I thought I needed were things, you know, like designer bags, cars, houses, land, like whatever, all these expensive trips. Like that's what I thought I needed, you know, but God spoke out of that and was like, all you need is me. And that's all he had to say. It broke me. Like, you know, when you're in the military, they break you down.
Yeah.
I felt that. I was like no longer myself anymore. I was broken down to like what God created me to be, you know, like my soul, you know.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Yeah. So in that moment, you obviously you're very conflicted. How does the talk to us about the transition on then how you make the decision to get out? Was it instantaneous? Was it over time? How did it happen?
It was over time. It was a growing experience. You know, when God works with you, it's never like instantaneous. It's never going to be like that same day, because I had so much to break off from the world. So much. Mm-hmm. It's not just the OnlyFans, but it was like deleting content on my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook, my YouTube. I had so much, becoming more modest. There were so many things that I needed to change, but I needed God's help to change them, and it would be in his due time. So Jordan, again, was a really big part of that, helping me, because he said this one thing that was so prevalent to my situation, because I was worried about finances. I was like, okay, if I delete OnlyFans, like, what am I going to do for money, right? He was like, Nala, like, the devil has a budget, but God doesn't, you know, God will, you know,
that's so
and it
good.
Blew my brain. I was just like,
it's
oh
blown my brain.
Well done, Jordan.
So the devil has a budget. So the devil has a budget, but God doesn't. Amen to that. You know, Jordan, first of all, again, for those who are not able to see Nala and Jordan, I described how beautiful Nala is. I haven't given justice to how handsome Jordan is. This is one of the most attractive couples. Yeah, this is one of the most attractive couples we have ever seen on our show. This is a good looking couple, but just the work of God in bringing you guys together. I mean, it's also mind blowing. We've done, by the way, Jordan and Nala, we do a lot of episodes on our podcast on dating and how to date. And so many of the things that you did, Jordan, are like exactly the right stuff to do. Becoming friends, not rushing this situation, you know, getting to know each other. All of this is
staying in separate rooms.
Rooms. I mean, you are things. Like, I mean, I just, first of all, I have to say, your mama did a good job. I mean, she did. And Nala, you are getting to reap the rewards of that. And there's no question about that. You know, Sean and I were talking before this episode about this actress that is on The Sopranos. I'm having trouble remembering her name. I'm sure you know her name. She became an OnlyFans because in the industry in Hollywood during COVID, they would not let her work because she refused to get vaccinated. She's a mom. She's probably my age. She's in her 50s. And she has two teenage kids. And she turned to OnlyFans because she said, this is the only line of work I can do because I can't work in the industry because I refuse to get vaccinated and I have to put food on the table. And she said that she helped support her dad and her mom, and she has her kids. Her kids have a father who's famous, who I don't know why he's not helping out enough so that the mom has to do that, but that's another story. What would you say? I mean, there's a lot of sort of rationalization. By the way, she also says that this is empowering. She calls herself a warrior mom because she's a warrior and she's providing for her family. What is your message, Nala, to women who are, I mean, that message that you said about the devil has a budget and God doesn't, it works, but you have to be in a certain space. You have to be at a certain level of God knowledge, right? Of awareness. What would you just say to somebody who's like, I just need the money. The times are hard right now. What's the thing you would say to them?
It's really simple. Go on TikTok Live. And I know that sounds like, what is TikTok Live? It's not rocket science by any means. It's like a kindergartner can do it. Like, all you do is prop your phone up. You have some kind of lighting face to you and you go live. People gift you when you just spend time with them. And he has made up to $50,000 a month just going live. And he talks about the Lord, you know,
throwing chairs, talking about the Lord and making 50 grand a month. Jordan, great deal.
Hey, right. That's what I love.
Well, I mean, I understand.
But tell us about tell them. Okay. That's honestly, I had no idea you could make that much money going live. We might have to look into this, Sean. but tell me about the cost. What would be your elevator speech to somebody about the true cost, ad that you saw from OnlyFans? What's the true cost to your soul, to your dignity, to your life?
Well, that's honestly, you just said it. The true cost is your soul. You know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We might gain money, but at the end, what is money? You know, it's all God's anyway. But when you die, are you taking that money with you? Absolutely not. The only thing you take with you is your soul that God created. So your soul is the thing that you lose for monetary things. So once I realized that, I was like, oh, God, take it all away. Take it all away. But you know what's crazy? This earth is so temporary. And he makes a great example of this. What he said was, you know, think about like a couple grains of sand on your finger, and that's your life. And then look at the Sahara Desert. That's eternity, right? So this life is so temporary, and then our soul will live forever and ever and ever. And it depends on where do you want your soul to live eternally? Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? And I know a lot of people think that's controversial because it's like, oh, are you condemning me? No, but God says it in his word. Like, if you live for the world, you will not live in heaven. Like, and for me, the money, the fame, it was not worth my eternal soul for. This body that will no longer be here one day is not worth it because I care about Christ now. I love him so dearly. And that he's shown me things. And, you know, I love that women want to be able to provide and be that provider. And we all have this like business sense, and it gives you that kind of business sense. It kind of scratches that itch for you on OnlyFans. But when she's talking about being a warrior, I was a warrior too, in the sense that people were coming against me and I was fending them off. That is like the warrior feeling that you get when you're on OnlyFans, because people come against you so heavily and you're like, I'm doing what I want. You know, I am free. I don't need a man. You're fending off for sure, but not in the right way. I'd rather be a warrior for Christ. Truly, yeah. like that is what I want. And this is like my temporary earth, whatever many years God gives me, I want to fight be a soldier for him. You know what I'm saying? And fight for his kingdom, fight for someone who died on the cross for me. You know, he literally died on the cross for a bunch of maybes. No one was for sure going to get saved, you know? So he died for me. I'm a stranger. You know, I don't know one person on this earth that died for me like that other than Jesus Christ.
So. You know, I always think, Nala, about when Jesus died on that cross, the one thing he took up with him on that very day was a thief, you know.
And I love that.
He took this thief, but this humble thief who admitted that he had done wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the story of your life as well. Mm-hmm. Jordan, I want to ask you one question that is maybe a little difficult because I want to get real on this. Mm-hmm. Has it been hard for you to deal with Nala's past? Obviously you went through and you said you tried to delete it as much as you could, but these things have happened. Did you have to go through a process yourself to deal with what Nala had done with her life? Once you and her were together, does it ever come back up?
We actually really don't talk about it too much. And it's not really like at the front of my mind because like she's a new creation, you know, like when she was doing like all that stuff, like obviously it was a little bit hard, but like we weren't dating. So like once we started dating, like she was like deleting all her stuff. So I was more comfortable with it. And like, just like, if you were to think about it, like your spouse or significant other, was in that type of line of work, I mean, you can have some like mixed emotions about it. I mean, as anyone would, but I mean, if you think about it, like she actually was on this other interview and it's like, she probably has a lower body count than majority of people are in college right now. And it's cause like she did all her content with like her boyfriends and like one other guy. So it's just like, her body count's not even that high. And people go, oh, like she's got bodies on bodies on bodies. But it's like, you probably have more bodies than her. So it's just like, if you actually think about it, it's just like, yes, all that stuff's out there. But it's like, at the end of the day, like that just proves, you know, she's beautiful. You know, people are paying money because she's beautiful. So it's just like,
in a way,
I just look at it as a win-win now, because it's just like, God was able to radically change her life and bring me the wife I've been praying for. So it's just like, it's a win-win.
so obviously you guys, you learned a lot, Nala, through the OnlyFans experience, just on the business side of it and how to become a creator and how to promote yourself. You guys are together. You say you do TikTok live now, and Jordan, you're doing TikTok as well. So you guys have, obviously Jordan, you're making good money on TikTok. Are you now doing that as well? Maybe not as much as OnlyFans, but successfully promoting yourself on social media, marketing yourself as well?
I am, but obviously in a different way now. So I took down all the other content that would be even a little bit lustful or seductive. And because it's just no longer about what I look like. It's truly about Christ in me. And people need to see that. And if you're bearing fruit, like the Bible talks about, mm-hmm. like not worldly fruit, but Christ's fruit, you would cover up, and your content should reflect him now. But what I'm doing, or what we're doing, is something really exciting. So we started a TikTok agency. We already got approved and everything, and started signing people. We started this agency called Rebel because we feel like we're rebels in the industry. Mm-hmm. Like we're truly out there for Christ, being a rebel. But what our agency is like such an amazing platform for people. Like you sign up under us to go live. We help you become a bigger, better creator, not just on TikTok, but all your platforms. We have people in the, like that we've hired to recruit for you and to help you with your taxes and anything that you need help with, like creating content, editors, like our company provides that. So you can be better at like creating content. But our goal here is is to reach people for Christ. Like, our foundation is Christ, and we want to, like, we are about to buy a home to invite creators out to have Bible studies and help people with their mental health, whatever they're struggling with, but like, be there for the creator, you know? And another really awesome part of that is that we're starting a nonprofit, because we want the company revenue to also go to a nonprofit, because we feel very called to the mission field, like, to whether it's building churches, building schools, handing out Bibles, but we really love the mission field. So not only in America, but we want to go overseas and just be such a light for people that haven't been able to experience Christ's love like we have, you know, necessarily. So
this is such an incredible redemption story. I'm really blown away. A lot of this we didn't expect to hear. I mean, we knew you had gotten out, but we didn't know like that you guys. Wow. I mean, big wow. I cannot let you go without, because I'm intrigued, because I think a lot of girls are in this, and you talked about a little bit about, you know, how you were estranged from your family. If you're a parent, and your daughter falls into this line of work, what would be the right way for you as a parent to help her get out of it?
Wow. I have such a great answer for that. And it's truly love them. When I came out to my parents about this, it was not love at all. It was so disheartening to see that they didn't want to speak to me. They didn't want to talk to me. And then I ended up getting used for money through my family, because I was like making money and they needed money, and I was being used for that. So when we have a child, and if they would ever decide to do something like this, our first step would be shower them in love, because one, we would not raise our child.
Can I stop you for a second, Nala? Because I've been reading about, you know, Charlie Sheen and his, I'm not remember her name, but Charlie Sheen and his Hollywood, Denise Richards, have a daughter who went into this kind of content, and their reaction was, we need to support her. And eventually the mom went into OnlyFans too, as a form of support. And they've even done, like, they've been teasing that they're going to do content together, which is super sick. But I guess what's that line between
love versus support?
Yeah. Like, support, how would your parents have shown you, like, how would that manifest itself? This showing you love without actually endorsing what you're doing or supporting what you're doing.
You know, if my parents would have from the beginning shown that, like, Christ's love inside them, like, they were very religious Christians instead of relationship with Christ Christians. Mm-hmm. So from the beginning, like, even when them disowning me, like, that was like, how is that Christ's love? You know, you birthed me into this world. I was a gift for you from God, and you disown that. Like, so a big portion of what I feel like is, if my parents would have sat me down and told me, you are so much worth it than this. Like, I love you, but this is not the right path. And another thing is, like, if I would have been grown up or raised in a Christ-loving home and not a church family home, I don't know if that would have been the case, that I would have ever been on OnlyFans. Mm. But when I told my parents, when I had started, their reaction was to not speak to me, like, no communication. They did not want to speak to me. And in fact, what my mom did was wrote me an email like months later and just told me that I was off the beaten path, that I was like far from what God wanted me to be. And instead of a loving response or a phone call, I got an email that felt so cold, and it hurt my feelings so bad, because I was like, this is what I get, you know? So if I could go back to me, like 5 years ago, I would shake myself and just be like, Nala, you are so worth it. I love you. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are a creation of Christ. Our creator created us like that in his image. And the same spirit that died on the cross with Jesus lives in us. You know, you don't need to do this. I felt like I had no other options because I'd lost everything. If I didn't feel like that, I can honestly say that I probably would have never started, because when this man told me I was beautifully and wonderfully made and worth it, I changed, but God changed my life. Got me off of OnlyFans. So that's why I can attest to that, that theory right there, is that if I would have been told and like even felt worth it, you know, I wouldn't have done this or gone on this path. But the one man that was willing to show me Christ's true love, I got off, you know? So if anyone's even thinking about it, or someone's trying to convince them to go on, and it's all shiny, of course. Sin is sin. It's very pleasurable. Money is pleasurable. Sex is pleasurable. But it's all a sin, and it comes with a consequence, whether you feel that consequence here on earth or when you're being judged by God. You know, there's a consequence to everything that you do. So...
Wow. You two are amazing. It's an amazing story. I love it in that we're all sinners, right?
Yeah. All of us are sinners. We've all fallen short.
There's only one non-sinner that's ever lived on earth.
And the only requirement to be a Christian is to be a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you don't have Christianity.
Yeah. I love that.
How long have you been married?
Since Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
Congratulations.
So you got married on Easter. So I love it. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm impressed with both of you so much. By the way, Jordan, on our podcast, we talk a lot about masculinity. You are the embodiment of that, in my opinion. You are your heart. By the way, he's very strong looking too. So this is a man,
this
physically,
man is
6'4", spiritually,
right?
Psychologically, emotionally, he exudes manliness in the most Christian way, that you treat her the way she should, with dignity, with respect, that she's a new creation. I love your story, Nala, but it's clear that Jordan is the hero of this story.
He is, and
Christ is. Both of you are an amazing story. I hope the story takes fire here and travels out to everybody, and especially to those who are trapped in that golden cage that you talked about, Nala, that golden cage of materialism, of low self-esteem, and of believing that this is all they are made for. What a pleasure, what an honor to meet both of you. God bless you. We wish you best of luck with Rebel. You might get a call from us. We need some help with
us.
We're old and need help. I'm going to call you. I noticed Sean wrote down Rebel. On his page here. So we're wishing you with that, but also with the missionary work. And I hope that charity work is about getting more women out of that really dark world of OnlyFans and pornography. Thank you for your witness. You guys are incredible.
Thank you so much.
It's such a pleasure talking to you both.
All right, Sean, that was an incredible podcast. That was an incredible conversation with Nala and Jordan. And, you know, we talk so much about dating and relationships. Like, Nala hit the jackpot. Like, that is a catch and a half. He's handsome. He was so non-judgmental. He handled it he's a young guy. The maturity of Jordan in handling this situation and helping Nala become the woman she was meant to be. I'm just in awe. And I know he's a modest guy, and he gives all the credit to God, of course, who does deserve that. But there's something about his own nature and also about his upbringing. My hat goes off to his mom.
Yeah, no, I think when you said at the start of the podcast that you talk about wanting to get an OnlyFans person who's been in and then got out on
a reformed OnlyFans person.
Literally, I've heard that for months, if not a year, that Rachel wanted to do this. And you know what? Nala and Jordan were remarkable in that she was really open about the story on how she got in.
She's great.
How much money she was making, what it did to her personally. It's tragic, because again, money can sometimes seem like it's going to fulfill you. The online fame can seem like it's going to fulfill you. And she was very clear in saying, I was lonely. I was sad. I didn't have any friends, but for friends inside of this industry. And how she came out was really remarkable. And the transformation that she's made in the life that they're now leading, it's a really beautiful
story. Yeah, she's applying the skill sets of the marketing of herself to something positive, and also to helping. I mean, Jordan was already doing quite well, but just imagine these two brains together, what they'll be able to create and do for positive. You know, in preparing for this interview, our producers and I put, you know, we went and did some research on different other creators who have gotten out. And I sort of wanted to hear different people, what they learned about themselves when they were in there and why they got out. There was one, it was really fascinating to me. It was something I didn't expect to hear. This was a former full-time only fan. Her name is Dasha Daly. And she said she left and got a real job, like where she actually is tired from real work at the end of the day and working with coworkers. And what was interesting is until she got out and had a real job, she didn't realize how lonely she was mm-hmm. doing OnlyFans. And I think, you know, Nala also talked about that. Like there is sort of this post-COVID thing where people are like, oh, work from home. And as a mom, I understand the positives and that can come from working at home. But when you're single and you're working at home, it's lonely. When you're doing something that's super shady like this, and you're ashamed of it, and you can't really be honest about who you are, because even people who are not, you know, God-centered know that this is not a positive line of work, and it has a lot of downsides. It's just all of it so lonely. But then you're also hearing so much about moms getting into this line of work, and we need to have Nala back, maybe another person who's been a mom, to talk about just how destructive this should be. If this is destructive on Nala, who chose this as an, you know, over 18 woman, imagine the kind of shame, the kind of just mental anguish this must be for somebody yeah. who's the child of an OnlyFans mom. I can't, and we're hearing more on like Reddit, Sean, that, you know, middle school boys are committing suicide, attempting to commit suicide because their mom are OnlyFans and their friends and their friends' dads are on their mom's pages. I mean, it's just humiliating.
They're distraught and so distraught horrible. That they're going to the point of taking their own lives.
That these moms are justifying it for exactly the same stuff, that same reasons that Nala said, you know, the money becomes very seductive and it traps them.
Yeah, I know it is. It's absolutely a trap. But there's an idea that I think that I can take my clothes off and I can make massive amounts of money. And what I picked up from Nala and from the stories that you shared with me as well, Rachel, is the people who are successful, they are working nonstop.
Yeah.
It's not just the I'm got a camera on and I'm doing, you know,
for these 10 minutes and then I'm done and I get to go for a walk all day or whatever.
She said she works 7 days a week. She was working all the time at building, not a great, I mean, again, we're not proud of the business, but she was building a business and that's all she thought about. That's all she was doing. That's what her focus was. And so there's that it's really easy. And this is all I just kind of do, again, 10 or 15 minutes and I make all this money. The successful ones are dedicating their lives to it.
And she was making, I mean, in her first month, she said she made $85,000. Wow. But the point is that, first of all, she's a very rare bird. You can see from this interview, this is somebody who just kind of, some people just are natural, have a natural business side to her. This is a girl who has a very naturally savvy business mind. Okay, so there's that. But also, she wasn't, when you get into this kind of line of work, like the story I just told about the girl who ended up eventually having a real job, you don't even realize what you're capable of doing once you get trapped in this easy money. And you know, put the downsides of it, all the psychological, how it affects your relationships, how it affects your family, how it affects your self-esteem, all of this stuff. But you're right, Sean, they have to keep working and they have to keep upping the ante. You know, the bikini shots are never enough for your customers that have been with you for a year. They want to see more and they're pressuring you. And I thought it was interesting too when she said, when I had a bad period of time that I was going through, that's when I was susceptible to crossing my own lines of what I said I wouldn't do in OnlyFans. So this is a very evil line of work. And make no mistake, and I think, you know, if Nala was here, she'd agree with it. Certainly Jordan would. The devil is at work here. This is the devil's work. And yeah, you're getting paid for it, but you're paying with your soul, as she said.
Can I tell you what's interesting in the story is it's not a great story in one way, but it's the choices that Nala made that weren't good choices that gave her the money to throw $300 contributions to Jordan, that started up that relationship, that brought her back to Christ, that brought the two together, made this marriage happen.
Story.
And so what's interesting is some really bad things in your life can lead you to some really beautiful, wonderful things. And it's this path that's brought her to where she is right now. And who knows if she hadn't had the bad, what if she ever got to this good?
That's an existential, like, philosophical question. But I mean, I'm a
philosophical man.
You're a philosophical guy. I think about Mary Magdalene. I mean, Mary Magdalene got to the point in her bad path that she was getting stoned. She was about to get killed by stoning from her village. And that is the low point, right? I mean, she's had all these husbands, she's had all these, you know, adulterous affairs. She ends up, you know, about to get stoned.
Getting stoned would be the low point, yes.
Yeah, that's the low point. And there enters Jesus, and her whole life is transformed. So, I mean, there is redemption for everyone. This is an incredible story with an incredible hero in it, Jordan, as far as I'm concerned.
And it was great. We didn't hear from Jordan until kind of late in the podcast, and all of a sudden he was this burst of light. I'm like, this guy's great. He has to do the podcast with Nala, and she was like, no, I'll do it, but I want to also do it with Jordan. And I am too.
Glad, because he's a part of the story, and Nala's story is intertwined with his, and both of their stories are intertwined with God. And this might be one of my favorite podcasts that we've done. And I want to have her back. I have so many more questions for her. I'm also encouraging people, if you have questions for Nala, I intend to have Nala and Jordan back. Do DM me. I promise you, I will hang on to those questions, and I'll make sure to bring them up when we have her back in the next couple months, because I intend to do that. Thank you, Nala. Thank you, Jordan. What an incredible interview.
And thank you all for joining us at the kitchen table. If you like our podcast, you can rate, review, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, always find us at foxnewspodcast.com. Subscribe, get a notice when we drop. We're Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Which are Q&A.
Which is Friday Q&A. Until next time, have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.